This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to the Vedic Wisdom. Thanks for being with us today. I'd like to talk to you today about the concept in the Vedic literature of plain living and high thinking. Now, this, to a degree, is in contrast to the world we have now, because as you're all aware, it's getting more and more hectic. We have an issue with the computers that people don't even realize how they distort time. And you go to your computer to answer a couple of emails, and an hour's gone. And so something else pops up, and you're distracted again, and you look up something to see what that had to say, and you read an article, and this goes on, oh, another hour's gone. And it ends up complicating your life, because then you have to shift your schedule or your duties or expectations for your day's achievements. And the situation becomes a rat race, because you're always on the back foot of the essentials, what's required of you, and what you get distracted by. And this is why everybody is going around saying, oh, I'm just so busy, I'm so busy, I'm so busy, I'm so busy. But actually, they're sitting. They're not really busy. They're sitting in front of a computer screen, and they're trying to analyze or influence or respond to a host of other things. And if you look at these issues and what you're spending your time on, not many of them directly affect your quality of life. Even in business, oh, we'll make a quote here, or we'll go ahead and analyze this, or we'll go ahead and inquire about that. But what is actually affecting, landed that job? What is actually affecting the situation is minimal. And this is what's happening. Everyone's life is full of distractions to the point you don't even identify them as distractions anymore. Now, this is called illusion. Now, we all know that our eyes can be tricked. We can think that something's rotating this way when it's really rotating that way. We see that on television, the screens. We see that in different things in our lives, how our minds can be tricked and our eyes can be tricked. Well, so can our minds. Our mind and intelligence get deceived. Oh, I only answer a couple of emails. Just take me a few minutes. Boom, an hour's gone. Boom, another hour's gone. So it's a distortion. It's a distortion of how we're spending our time. And it's a distortion, an illusion, as to what is actually productive spending of the time. And this is where we're at. Everybody has a mind that has been actually altered. The brainwave patterns, thinking methods, you know how the mind is. It creates different circuitry connections and links such that information gets directly linked together. But we're having our minds linked by the computer so that we have a methodology of thinking that's actually instilled by association with the computer. And people don't even realize it. To give you an example, how many of the people out there that are mature turn around and say to their kids, help me figure this out. This electronic stuff and all these computer things. How does this work? How do I do that? Why can the kids figure it out? Because their brains are wired to the computer methodology during development. The older people, their minds were not. They were set down in a different analytical conceptual approach to problem solving and a different type of interaction and level of exchange. But the children, they are more familiar with screens, television screens, telephone screens, computer screens, than the older generation. So they're naturally attuned to it. They think like it. They understand, oh, you do this. No, don't do that. Look over here. See there, like this, like that. Bing, there's your answer. Holy cow. It's like rats in a maze or rats in a laboratory. Push the green button, you get food. Push the red button, you get water, etc., etc. And the children's minds are wired by association with these mechanical devices. And what is happening to the older people, they can't quite make their minds reroute the circuitry and the thought processes and conceptual approaches to problem solving because they have a traditional methodology of analysis. Whereas the children, they have a computer methodology of analysis. So this causes this the society to be in a vibration rate, a perspective, a EMF environment that is actually foreign to the human experience. It's natural to the computer, but it's foreign to the humans. And many humans are oblivious to this. They simply think that this is the tool I use for this particular job. Just like, I want to beat something in the kitchen, use a beater. You want to mix something, you use a spoon. You want to, you know, stab something, use a fork. The respective tool. And the respective tool, they believe, for using is the computer. And so we all end up distracted. And our brainwave patterns and analytical methodologies altered. Now we have a society that is being raised, not even really raised, it's more accustomed, acclimatized, that's the word I'm looking for. They're actually acclimatized to the computer methodology and approach to problem solving. Now, if we go back a little bit further, we find that this whole psychological thing has been happening since the television. And that we now have two or three generations, maybe a little bit more, that have been completely exposed to the television, their whole duration of life. They're more or less raised by the television set, and they have a different analytical methodology, conception, and approach. And they're very easy to influence by the television because their brainwave patterns fall into the 60 hertz flicker rate, et cetera, that the television emanates. Because they're habituated to it. Their brains adapt. Our brains adapt to whatever our environment is. And now we have children that are adapted to complete computer technology conception, not just television. You said these kids, they sit there and go, their thumbs going like a bee's, hopping, bouncing, 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 bouncing to text. They can text a 20-word message by the time you and I find out where do I get messages at. So they have these conceptions that are now being instilled in them. And what it's doing is it's leading to a hyperactive human society that is not attuned to its natural wavelength. I was hearing an article the other day where the human brainwave patterns, when you're emanating love and compassion and consciousness and affection, and you're in a peaceful state, meditative state, your brainwave patterns run at the 7 hertz, 7.5, 8, 10 hertz. And that's exactly the pulse rate of the planet. And this is why we are earthlings. This is why Mother Earth is so vital to us, because that is our natural vibration rate. That is her natural vibration rate. The concept, you come home from work and kick off your shoes that are insulated and heavy soles maybe, and you throw those aside, and you put your feet down on the ground, and you ground. And the pulse rate settles from the 60 hertz or whatever you're exposed to, and it returns back down to that, and you're comfortable. You relax. What a day. Phew, glad that's over. So we're in an environment now where the vibration rate is so much higher, it's actually an irritant, and it's distorting the time perspective. And it's altering brainwave patterns, and it's altering analytical methodologies. So, this does not lead to spiritual realization. This does not lead to self-realization, to development of the humble attitude. It does not lead to a compassionate, cooperative conception. It leads to an agitative state. Everybody's agitated. Everybody's behind. Rush, rush, hurry, hurry, hurry. We used to complain about the rat race, but this is far faster, far more encompassing, far more distracting than the concept rat race, drive somebody an hour to work and do the job and drive an hour back. This is far more complicated than that. You don't have to drive anywhere to be in the rat race now. It's it right there in your home, at your desk, alongside your bed, in the other room, whatever it is. Wherever there's a computer or a television is the rat race. It's there impacting upon your mind and consciousness, and is actually training your brain and your circuitry in your brain to harmonize with the frequency patterns in the equipment. So, from the Vedic literature's point of view, says this is industrialism is not healthy. It will not lead to self-realization. It will not develop your consciousness to the human standard. It will keep you in a limbo between being where you want to be and being where you used to be. But you will stay there because of the illusory nature of it, because of the misconceptions involved, the distortions involved, time especially. And you end up in this limbo of not really making any advancement, but always having the sensation that you're behind and hurrying and scurrying. So you have an anxiety level. And this is what the human society is talking about when someone says to you, oh, I'm so busy lately. No, they're not. They're being agitated by brainwave pulses and influences that makes them feel that way. But if you actually look at the productivity, human productivity is on the dramatic decline worldwide because everybody has a television and a computer now. So you can understand the issues if you step back from them. And the Vedic literature said, this is not conducive to self-realization. This is why there's so much speculation of what is spiritualism? What is religion? What is love of God? Is God there? Does God live? All of this happens because the brainwave modulations are distorting your capacity to be at peace and sense your position in the universe, sense your relationship with others and with the Supreme Lord and your duty and responsibility to perceive God's presence right here, right now, directly, personally with you. It is a human capability. The demonic leaders of the planet, they are trying to destroy any conception of God consciousness. They are trying to make you think it's all just a phantasmal, a dream. Oh, they made up the stuff about God just to keep you enslaved. There's nothing to it. There is no God. And this is the way the demonic and the psychopaths discredit all of the things that make us human. So that they could turn around and control us, make themselves the dominating power and force and authority, and we become enslaved. Right now, we're currently facing the dramatic enslavement by finance. So all of these things, whether it be finance or it be the tools of the modern world, televisions and computers, or whether it be the influence of people who are godless and selfish, it's all designed to keep us out of that zone. The zone of perfection. The zone of tuned in. The athlete. The race driver. The artist. Even the seeker or a preacher. That zone when everything is aligned. Everything works. Everything is pious. Everything is pure. Everything is productive. You're in the zone. And most people aren't anymore. They don't even get the opportunity. They've mostly forgot that there is a zone. And they're struggling with this perceived, I'm so busy, I'm so far behind. It's like the rabbit from Alice in Wonderland. I'm late, I'm late, I'm late. What time is it? I'm late, I'm late. That's what's happening. Every one of you, the housewives, the kids, the men, the business people, everybody, I'm late, I'm late. I'm late. Don't have enough time. Can't do it. Can't stop. I'd love to, but I'm late. I'm late. I'm late. But the productivity in their day has dramatically dropped. But their perception of the situation has got them in anxiety. Hurry up. Try harder. Got to do it. What am I going to do? Oh, my goodness. So the Vedic literature says the real solution to all of this is to reduce your supposed needs for your actual needs. You need food, water, shelter, cloth. You don't need all these things that you surround yourself with. Oh, I love my house. It's so pretty. I have all these nice figurines sitting around. I love the color of my couch and the curtains. I have so many things that I'm attached to. They're so beautiful. They're pleasing to me. Then you need none of it. You need shelter from the elements. You need freedom from attack. You need the food and water and covering and cloth and a place to lie down as minimal. And the Vedic literature says if man minimizes his needs, there's more than enough for everyone. that this society of selfishness and misconstrued values and needs has turned it into where we are contaminating our planet by depleting the natural resources beyond the capacity to replenish. And this has opened the door for the elite of the world to say, oh, man is the problem. We need to cull a lot of humans. There's just too many. And that's not the situation. The situation is that this mode of living, this materialistic conception of life that's full of distractions from the essentials, is making us all overtaxing the resources. So the simple concept, according to Vedic literature, the simple living, having what is required, not being of concern that I have more and more and more and more and more and more. The simple living is the path to self-realization. Why? Because you save an immense amount of time taking care of all these things or trying to acquire all these things or worrying about losing all these things. And you can use that time to reaffirm your human nature, your human qualities, to develop your higher aesthetic values, to become in harmony with the planet, to achieve a level of spiritual realization in harmony with the Supreme Lord's wishes, taking the opportunity to use your energy voluntarily for the good, betterment, upliftment, and satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. You can uplift human society with your contribution, but you're not looking at your life as a life of contribution. You're looking at your life as a life of struggle for what you want. And because of it, it's become a disease. Everyone has the disease, and they're giving the disease by talking about it to everyone around them. And we're all depleting the planet's resources. We're depleting our time, our lifespan. And we're losing sight of the fact that we're here in the human form of life to become self-realized, God-conscious entities that are contributing to the upliftment of humanity. That's really what we're supposed to be doing. Getting away from this materialism, industrialism, corporatism. These things do not breed development of consciousness. They distract the entire human society away from it. And we're to the point now where some of the people are so permanently distracted, they could not hear this conversation I'm having with you right now and understand it or believe it or take it to heart and do anything about their lives. This is how serious the disease is. And it's fatal. You take it to your grave. If they don't get it together, and when they hear someone just like this conversation we're having now, if they don't hear, they don't participate, they don't try to change their lives, what is the value of their living? Their contribution is only to the materialism and to the distraction and to the mistakes that are happening on the planet. So what value are they? They're just accelerating their self to crash. It's like someone who gets in a very powerful race car, never been in one before, puts the throttle down, and before you know it, they're out of control. Within a moment, they're out of control, unable to cope. And that's what we have. We have a society that's out of control. The people are unaware of how to actually look after their best interest. They do not know what is my best interest. They think money and things. And that's been proven 100,000 million times not to be the answer. Money does not make you happy. Money gives you facilities. But it does not make you happy. And the same with things. Things, they give you facilities, but they do not make you happy. Generally speaking, they distract you because they need maintenance. And you actually are causing yourself more loss of positive time because you have so many things. So the Vedic literature is talking about a tangible adjustment to your perspective and your actions that result in the upliftment of your conscious awareness of your predicament. Because you are in a predicament. Your life is only so long. You only have so much freedom. You only have so much resources, capacity, strength, etc. And unless you recognize those limitations and work within them, and you progress gradually to the point where you are free from the attachment to things that don't matter, and firmly fix in developing your consciousness and love of God and service, you end up confused. You end up illusioned. And this is what we have. We have a society that is so illusioned, productivity is dropping dramatically. The happiness level is dropping dramatically. And we face another threshold, another big drop, a jump off of the cliff and fall, big fall in the peace and satisfaction of humanity, because the criminals who control the monetary system on the planet, the banking system on the planet, are taking all of the money out of the system, so you and everybody else has none. Poverty is raging in the Northern Hemisphere. America has 101 million unemployed. Europe is the same thing. The numbers are going up weekly. Hundreds of millions unemployed. And we're here in our little country and we're moving along as though nothing's happening, because the news is not telling us anything is happening. So your mental perspective, your information base, your perspective, your perception of the changes that are happening on the planet is being controlled over you. You do not get to know what is actually going on. So you're happy. You're peaceful. Until you start looking at what we've been discussing, that you're actually becoming subservient to the mentality and methodology imposed upon you by the screens and the vibration rates within. So here you are, you think you have everything you need and you have enough money to pay your bills and keep things going, but you're still not happy because you're so distracted and overburdened by busy. And that's really the right word, busy, not productive, busy. So we're in a predicament right here, right now, you and I, in our lives in the now, where we have to start changing our lives voluntarily. We have to start making adjustments to our lives, weeding out the unnecessaries. I mean, all the way. Is this really necessary? Do I need this? Do I use it? You got things in the garage that's been there how long? You know it's there, and if you need it, you can go to it, but you haven't needed it in 10 years. So you don't need it, do you? And this is our situation. We're concerned with things that we don't really need, and we're not taking care of the needs of ourselves, of our society, of our youth, of our future. We've misinterpreted the meaning and the value of life. So you cannot expect there to be a healthy, beneficial, developmental existence when it's based upon perversions, illusions, distractions, misconceptions, etc. And we sense it. If you stop and look at it, you can see this isn't good. The whole series of changes that are happening in my life, in everybody's life I know, in everyone around me, it's not benefiting anybody. We're all falling into a brainwave pattern and a social pattern that leads to dependency upon the state and the corporatocracy. When the Vedic literature says, if you minimize all of your needs to where you're dependent upon yourself and your community, you'll find there's much more time, and there's much better food and water, and there's much better association, and there's much happier lifetime. But we've become habited because of our bad association with the television set, the computers, and the other people who have the same disease as you do. There is that old phrase, misery loves company. And we're good company for that. Most people are really good company because everybody's miserable. Small miserable, big miserable, everybody's miserable. So this industrialism is not helping anything. You've got a garage full of stuff that is produced because of materialism and industrialism, and it isn't making you happy. You don't even look at it or use it anymore. And so you have this issue in your heart that something is not fulfilled. Something's not quite right. All right? Heard that? Said it yourself? Something's just not right. I sense it. I can feel it. And yet you're at a loss. This means that you know what it's like to be healthy. in spite of the fact you and everybody around you has the disease. But that inkling, that ringing of the bell in the background, it's there. You know it isn't right. You know there's something superior that's more right and is more fulfilling and a real opportunity for you to develop yourself. Because the more you develop yourself, the more you influence those around you, and the happier the whole situation becomes. Everybody's so busy about finding fault and pushing on the other guy. Change yourself. Improve. Work on yourself. You're a problem to me. You should just shut up. Just leave me alone. But they're not working on themselves. It's back to, you need to, before you open your mouth, look in an imaginary mirror and see just how well you're doing. Are you being the best you could be? Are you making the most positive contribution you're capable of? 99% of the people can't say they are. They know that they're distracted. Look at, have a conversation with someone and watch their eyes. They can't keep focused. They're so distracted by stuff going on in their head. It's a whole different vibration rate going on in their head than the normal communication, listening, speaking, like a breathing cycle of communication. They aren't even able to do it anymore. We have a society who's sick with the inability to communicate correctly and listen. Listening has become the most difficult thing. There are people that can't even read a whole article. The distraction is shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter before, distracted again. So we have to recognize these issues, that the simple living and the higher thinking, the development of your consciousness and love of God, becoming a servant of God in heart and soul, voluntarily, willingly, without expectation of return, with simply the pure joy of giving selflessly for the betterment of everything. This is where the Vedic literature says you need to be for your natural qualities to come out, for you to revive your lost memory of that state of meditative contentment, that state of open-hearted realization that you are an eternal living entity meant for love of God and love of all things. Make your positive contribution. Remember the happiness that's lying dormant within you.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.